Despite some of the gloom at this year's show, the industry is hoping to rekindle car lovers' passion driven by great design. But for designers, it's not a good time to break into the industry, as Michigan Radio's Dustin Dwyer reports.
To become an automobile designer, you have to have a deep love for cars. A love so deep you'll work long hours, evenings, weekends, drawing lines over and over until you get it just right. You'll turn those drawings into models made out of foam, and you'll sand those models like a maniac.
I heard stories about people wearing their skin down and, like, little pieces, seeps of blood coming through.
Philip Muscat is at work in the automotive design studio at the College for Creative Studies in Detroit. He's covered in a faint blue dust from a foam model that he and his fellow students have been sanding for too long now.
How long have we been sanding, Andrew? Probably a couple days, 3 days now. Just constantly, 10, 12 hours a day.
Yeah, it takes a deep love of cars to do this job. It also takes talent. The College for Creative Studies, or CCS, is one of the top auto design schools in the country, with the kind of close connections to the industry that help its students get jobs. But out of 50 students admitted into the program, only about 10% or so can expect auto industry jobs when they graduate. That's 5 people in an average year. And this year, there might not be any jobs. Dong Tran is a senior. He grew up in Vietnam, where he says most people drove mopeds or rode bicycles. Seeing a car was rare.
I saw one because my grandpa drove a taxi for the presidential elect in Vietnam. And when I saw that, I fell in love with the car, and it's been like that ever since.
After 3.5 years at CCS, Tran has built up an impressive portfolio. He's interned with some of the best companies in the business, Toyota, General Motors, and BMW. But in today's market, he says that might not be enough. So he might have to design something other than cars.
I really want an automotive job, but I'm considering other options. I mean, product is an option, you know, transportation, mass transit, motorcycles option, boats.
The cars are your passion.
Yes, definitely. So let's cross my finger and hope I get something in May.
And it helps that Tran has 2 models on display here at the Detroit Auto Show. Usually CCS students have a space in the Cobo Hall basement during the show. This year they're on the main floor. While that means more exposure, it won't necessarily mean a job. Jim Hall once worked as an engineer in the design department at GM. At the auto show, he leads me away from the CCS booth toward the Lexus stand, where he says we can find a quiet place to talk. And here, shut inside a Lexus GS 450H hybrid, Hall confirms what students like Tran already fear.
It's going to be tough for them finding jobs, actually on a global basis, for probably the next 2 years.
Hall says while the auto companies have been shedding jobs, they've tried to avoid cutting their design staffs because those jobs were too important to lose. So right now, there are no open positions. Hall says many of the students who grew up with that deep love for cars will indeed end up designing something other than cars. But for some, that just won't cut it.
If you want to draw cars, if you've got gasoline in your blood, the only thing that's going to satisfy that is drawing cars.
Or sanding down foam models of cars. For NPR News, I'm Dustin Dwyer in Detroit.
Finally, back to the auto show for one last discovery about car design from our co-host, Robert Siegel.
I met a proud, expectant pop-up at the GM exhibit at the Cobo Center in Detroit.
Well, my name is Tim Gregg. I'm the design manager for the Volt interior.
Volt, as in the billion-dollar Chevy Volt, GM's gestating plug-in car, due date November 2010. This is the car that goes 40 miles on a single battery charge without relying on its backup engine. To recharge, you plug it in at home overnight when electricity is cheapest. Tim Gregg's project was the interior.
And we wanted to make sure that when you looked at the interior, it immediately looked like an electric vehicle, but at the same time, it also looked inviting and still warm, so you would want to sit down and continue to explore the depths of the technology instead of being kind of like turned off by them.
So the displays look more like computer monitors than like dashboard displays.
Exactly, kind of like a laptop.
This should feel like I'm about to open the Mac, and I should about to do some program on my.
That's great.
My laptop.
I think that's a compliment.
Yeah. We've got enough cup holders for a party in here in this car. In the rear, you have a
seat divider that comes down with lots of cup holders.
Well, that was the fear that, you know, it's a regular car, let's say, but it has this battery running down the center of the vehicle, and it tees out underneath the rear occupant.
So you've got to do something over it.
Absolutely. And we were afraid that would take away space, but at the end of the day, you know, you have to have dual cup holders, right? You have to have places for people to store their mobile devices or cell phones or what have you.
But it's so funny. If it actually works, I mean, if this car takes off,
and it will.
I got a car, yeah, you say it will. You got a car that you can plug in overnight for 75 cents. You can commute back and forth, and it'll be where the cup holders. How many?
That's still probably one of the highest priorities.
How many cups of coffee can we put in this car while we're driving?
The moral of the story? You can send a man to the moon, but if he doesn't have space for a Starbucks venti, who's going to go? This is Robert Siegel.